Acts 12. I've been looking at my file cabinet where the letter Q is. As I've said before, that may be a strange way to develop a series of messages, but I did notice in that one folder about 100 messages starting with the letter Q, and they fell under three categories, which I thought was interesting. Quality: God wants us to be the best we can be with His help. And also questions. There's a lot of questions I have. There's a lot of questions I'll not get the answer to. There's a lot of questions I don't need the answer to. But there's a lot of questions God answers too. But then also quitting. And I want to try and deal with that thought this evening. Beginning in verse 1, chapter 12. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex the certain of the church. And he killed James the brother of John with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers of the door kept the prison. Let me stop right here. If there's ever a time that Peter could have been tempted to quit, it could have been this. I see no indication of that, but I do know this. The possibility was there, and the temptation was there. He had been serving the Lord and walking with Him. God had used him mightily by this time. And James had already been killed, one of his friends, for serving the Lord. Not for something he had done, but for serving the Lord. And now he, for serving the Lord, was in prison. And he's not only locked up in prison, he's chained to two soldiers. A quaternion is a group of four. They change out during the watches during the night. Two of those soldiers he was chained to, and two watched the door, guarded the door. So humanly speaking, there's no way out. And Herod intends, as soon as Easter is over, to put Peter to death also. I'm saying he was at a bad place. But the verses don't end there. Look in verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, had to wake him up, my goodness, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. What a blessing. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He said, "This is just too good to be true." But it was true anyway. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, just like the electric door at the supermarket just opened up. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying for him, by the way. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda, And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate and listened to this bunch of Baptists. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad. We've been praying for him, but there's no way in the world God's answered. He's in prison." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and the brethren." And he departed. That's another James, by the way. And went into another place. We find here one of those dire times in Peter's life. And I think about this. Serving the Lord is difficult. And that's one of the reasons why from time to time, and maybe more often than that, we feel like quitting, just throwing in the towel, just giving up, just saying, "I'm not going to try anymore." This thing of quitting sounds more appealing more and more in our last days. And we need to realize that serving the Lord is something that is difficult. In the first four verses, we find that James was killed and Peter's in prison and he's chained up and locked up and there's no way he can get out. I'm telling you, that's a bad thing. Prison was not a luxury hotel. It was a place of misery. And it says in verse 3 about Herod, "And because he saw it pleased the Jews." That even makes it worse. Herod's the one that's in charge of all this. And he's a people pleaser. And he found out that killing James pleased the people. So as the verse said, he intended to take Peter and to put him to death also. I'm talking about it's a dangerous situation. It's a difficult situation. But we also will find out if we really serve the Lord, there's going to be some difficulties. It is not supposed to be easy. I thank the Lord for his grace. I thank the Lord for his power. I thank the Lord for his help. But it's still difficult. It says there he was chained up. But notice in verse 6, he was sleeping between two soldiers. He had peace in spite of the difficulty. I tell you, there's nothing like the peace of God. He, in essence, says, "I trust the Lord." It seemed like he really wasn't expecting to get out, but he was just saying, "Whatever the Lord wants, if this is the end of the road for me, that's okay." He endured the difficulties, and he was faithful to do so. I said again, God has never told us that it was going to be easy. He said, in fact, it's going to be difficult. That's why Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, we wrongly sometimes, at least I've heard others say, that if somebody gets sick, we all have a cross to bear. Or if somebody mistreats someone else, we all say, we have a cross to bear. But the cross that Jesus is talking about is our life. The cross wasn't just something hard and difficult. It was a sacrifice. It meant death. They were heading to their death. They were heading to the end of their life. And when Jesus said, "We have that cross," he is saying, "I want you to die out to me. And whatever I want." I tell you, that's not easy. To put our desires aside, to put our wants and our goals and what we want to die out to self is not easy. But that's what serving the Lord is. I find in 2 Timothy 2:3, "There, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness. Here's what he says to the person who serves him. Expect hardness. Endure hardness just like a soldier. If you've ever watched a real war movie, if you've ever been in war yourself, You know, it's not something that's easy. It is something that is difficult. And to get through it alive, you must endure. And the Lord likens the Christian life to a fight, a battle, a war. And he likens the Christian people to soldiers who are to endure. I'm talking about it's difficult to serve the Lord. It's good, I'm heading there, but it's difficult. Hebrews 10:32 says, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. About Abraham it said, and so after he had patiently endured. In John 15:20 it says, if they persecuted me, Jesus said, they also will persecute you. If they mistreated him, they'll mistreat us because we represent him. If they hated him, they'll hate us, and that makes life difficult. It's difficult, and sometimes the difficulties of life make you just want to throw in the towel and quit, just give up and forget it all. But that's not the answer. Life in serving the Lord can be difficult, but it also can be discouraging. Look in verse 8, what the angel said to Peter. Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Here's what the angel says to Peter. Here's what he says. Keep doing what you've been doing. Follow the Lord. The angel was leading Peter the direction the Lord wanted him to go. And I wonder if Peter thought, here I am being told again to follow him. Following him's what got me in prison. Following him's what got me in this situation already. So I believe there can be times when serving the Lord can be discouraging because we know it's going to cause trouble. The only reason Peter was there was because he had followed the Lord and obeyed God. And I warn you, if you follow God, if you serve him, you're going to be heading to trouble. I say so far this message is pretty discouraging, but there's some good news at the end if you'll just hold on. It's discouraging sometimes to serve the Lord when things don't happen the way we desire, when our prayers aren't answered as we hope they will be, when things don't work out as we hoped they would. It can get discouraging. And discouragement is something that'll take us down if we allow it. Numbers 21 verse 4 said, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were discouraged because of the way. The path, listen, that God was leading them was difficult, and they were getting discouraged because of the difficulty. And it can be that way with us. It's easy to get discouraged. Could have said again and just feel like quitting, but quitting's never the answer. Numbers 21, verse 5, the very next verse, and the people, listen to their reaction to their discouragement. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. I'm telling you, those buzzards was in a bad shape, but much of it was their own fault. They were discouraged because of the difficulty of the way, there's no doubt. But God was providing for them all along the way. And they finally said, I am so tired of this manna. Manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna, 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 manna. That's all we get. Well, they ought to be glad they had manna, because if they didn't have manna, they'd be dead. But they're discouraged. And discouragement messes up our vision. Discouragement makes everything get out of kilter. And they forgot about God. And instead of obeying God and believing God and trusting God, they were accusing God. And instead of praying for Moses and being glad for Moses that they had a man that would lead them right, they were beginning to accuse Moses and attack Moses. And God reacts in the next verse, in verse 6, and he sent fiery serpents to bite the people, and much of them died. Sounds to me like God took it pretty serious when they began to complain. when they began to resist. It came from the difficult path. It came because of their discouragement. But God, in essence, is saying, you don't have a right to be discouraged because I've been taking care of you. And as long as I'm taking care of you, everything's all right. I want to mention number three. Serving God can be difficult. Sure does seem like a good idea to quit. Serving God can be discouraging. You feel like you just can't go on, don't want to go on. You just want to quit. But serving God also can be disappointing. Look in verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to the hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. Peter's having more trouble getting in the prayer meeting than he did getting out of prison. And I thought about this. He must have been disappointed in those people. Here's these people who've been praying for him. Undoubtedly, they're praying for his deliverance. I mean, it had to be one of the things they're asking God to do. And now God has done what they asked him to do, and they don't even recognize it, admit it, or appreciate it. It had to be disappointing to Peter. And sometimes you can stand the difficulty and you can handle the discouragement, but peoples can be so disappointing that that's what makes you want to quit. When you look at people, when you see people, by the way, when you see yourself, because we can disappoint ourselves. I have been disappointed by people, but I have also been disappointed myself many times since I've been saved. And much of my disappointment in myself has been so discouraging that I thought, why in the world try? But thank the Lord for God's grace to keep on going. Serving God is disappointing. He's out. Now he can't get in because of people. And there's going to be people in your life that fail you and fail the Lord and don't do what they should do. And you'll pray for them and you'll care about them and you try to help them. And they'll not listen. They'll not change. They'll not care. In fact, they may get mad. But listen, don't let that cause you to quit. Don't let their actions, their reactions, don't let their attitude make you quit. It can be disappointing, there's no doubt, but that doesn't mean we're to quit. Look on in these verses and you'll find there's plenty of things to be disappointed about. Serving the Lord can be difficult, it can be discouraging, it can be disappointing, but also serving the Lord is demanded. I want you to look with me through these verses and find one place where God even hints to Peter, Peter, don't worry about serving me anymore. Peter, you're being mistreated. You just are not getting a fair treatment. Herod shouldn't have done it. These people shouldn't have ignored you. You shouldn't have been locked up. You shouldn't be chained up. You were doing right serving me, and you just did not get treated fairly. And I believe I'll just let you off the hook. Just forget about serving me. Forget about living for me. Don't worry about preaching anymore. Those people aren't deserving it anyway. They're not going to listen, a lot of them. Just forget it. Find that verse in there. It ain't there. In spite of the difficulty, in spite of the discouragement, in spite of the disappointment, God's demand was keep serving me. Keep walking with me. In fact, he let him out so he could keep serving him. It's a demanding thing. It's a demanded thing. It's a required thing that we serve him. In spite of all we go through, we do not have an excuse to quit. In spite of how good it sounds from time to time, we still do not have a reason or an excuse to quit or to do wrong. We can get mad at God and quit God, but that ain't going to work. We can attack our attackers, but that won't help. You know why? Because serving God is right. Serving God is right. And if it's right, it's right. If it's not right, it's wrong. And we need to realize serving God is a right thing to do. Serving God is a right thing to do. Not serving God is the wrong thing to do. It's a demanded thing. It's a required thing. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Here's what he demands. Here's what he requires. To walk with him, to love him, to serve him with all of our heart and our soul. Well, what about the hard times? What about the hard times? What about things when things don't go right? Well, what about it? He doesn't say you're excused if things don't go your way. In fact, he says when things don't go your way, you need to do my will even more. You need to be more dedicated. It's a demanded thing. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says two things. Love me with all your heart and love your neighbor like yourself. And he says, no matter how difficult it gets, I still require of you, you keep loving me and you keep loving others. You keep caring about me and you keep caring about others. No matter what we go through, we are not excused. Luke 6:35, but love ye your enemies and do good. He doesn't just say love the ones that love you. That's bad enough. But he says, love those who hate you. Love those who are your enemies. And the word there is agape, like John 3:16. We are to love them like God loved us, without any reservation, without any hesitation, without any requirement. I mentioned this evening that serving God sometimes is difficult and discouraging and disappointing, but it's also demanded. But I want to say also, it's delightful. Look in verse 8. Notice what it says here. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Then he says, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Serving the Lord can be hard, there's no doubt, but it's also delightful because by serving him, we have these times of deliverance, these times of miracles. I'm telling you, man was chained up. These were experts, these were soldiers, these were guards who had been trained. They cared nothing about killing prisoners. In fact, they'd just rather kill them than let them live. But God not only took care of the chains and the guards and the doors and Herod, he took care of everything and he brought Peter out. I'm telling you, you know why? Because Peter was one who was going to serve him. Serving him can be tough, there's no doubt, but it's delightful, it's wonderful. There's nothing on earth better than serving the Lord. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you know them, that's great. If you do them, that's greater. If you know them, that's good. If you do them, that's gooder. If you're happy in knowing them, you'll be happier by doing them. Doing his will is what, number one, pleases God. It pleases him. And that's supposed to be our main goal. That's supposed to be the primary issue of our lives. Are we pleasing him? And serving him with all of our hearts pleases him. It pleases the God who bought us. It pleases the God that sent His Son to die for us. It pleases Him. Serving God not only pleases God, but it helps others. You serving God helps somebody. You may wonder, am I ever a blessing to anybody? Well, yes, you are, if you're serving God. Somewhere, somebody's getting blessed. They may not tell you, and that's sad. They ought to tell you. They ought to tell you you're a blessing. They ought to tell you when you help them. But if they do or they don't, you're helping somebody by serving God. That's how He makes this thing. That's how all the pieces fit together. One who needs help is helped by somebody serving Him. One gives help, one gets help. You know what? Next time it may be reverse. This one that had just given help now may need to get help. And the one who got help now gives help. That's how God works. And it works when we serve Him. Serving the Lord is delightful. It pleases God. It helps others. And by the way, it blesses me. It's not easy to do some of the things the Lord wants. In fact, I don't really know anything that the Lord asks of us that is easy. But I know this, it's what makes me happy. Nothing in this world can make you happy. I'll tell you one thing, serving God will. Serving God's hard, difficult, disappointing, discouraging, but it's delightful. I'll close with this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast means continue. Good, bad, indifferent. Worst day of your life, keep a going. Best day of your life, keep a going. Steadfast, unmovable. Nothing shakes you. Nothing makes you stop. Nothing rattles your cage. And then he says, always abounding. It means an excess. It means running over. It means more than you ever thought. Paul said it like this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's a man who was locked up, whipped, left for dead, shipwrecked. Here was a man who was hated, abused, but he was a man who served God. And at the end of his life, he could look back and say, I did what God ordered me to do. My road's running out. As Brother Buddy says, me and him have high mileage. And what we do from here to the end is important. You may not do what you used to do. You may not be able to go like you used to. Do what you used to. You may not have the energy. But listen, what you can do, do. It's hard, but don't quit now. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. A lot of people have. You have any idea how many times I've said that in the last 2 years? A lot of people have quit. And if you aren't careful, and I'm not careful, one of us will be the next one that quits. Don't let it happen. Serving God is the best thing you could ever have in this world. Let's stand together.